Economics is broken. It has failed to predict, let alone prevent, financial crises that have shaken the foundations of our societies. Its outdated theories have permitted a world in which extreme poverty persists while the wealth of the super rich grows year on year. And its blind spots have led to policies that are degrading the living world on a scale that threatens all of our futures. That quote is how the book Donut Economics begins. It's a strong start. And that's the topic of today's episode. What's wrong with our current approach to economics, and what is the solution? And what does this mean for cities, for urbanism? The author, Kate Raworth, puts forward a new model for economics that serves both humanity and the planet. And when you draw this concept, it looks like a donut. I'll explain what all this means and how donut economics is being applied to cities in today's episode. Welcome to The Green Urbanist, a podcast for urbanists fighting climate change. I'm Ross. The central goal of a donut economy, as Raworth writes, is meeting the human rights of every person within the means of our life-giving planet. This is where the image of a donut comes from. Imagine a circle with the center cut out. The outer edge of the donut represents Earth's nine planetary boundaries, which include climate change, biodiversity loss, and ocean acidification. The inner circle of the donut, the hole in the middle, represents the social foundation of human rights and quality of life. Things like social equity, access to water, food, and education. The goal, then, of donut economics is to stay in between the inner and outer edges. What the author calls the safe and just space of the donut. If we fall short, the economy does not provide a basic quality of life for everyone. And if we overshoot, we face planetary tipping points that threaten our very survival. Looked at globally, we are currently both falling short on all social indices somewhere in the world and cumulatively overshooting a number of the planetary boundaries. So clearly our current economic model is not serving us, which is what donut economics seeks to correct. You might be thinking that this all sounds very sensible and admirable. Of course we want to provide quality of life for everyone, and of course we want to avoid overreaching our planetary boundaries. But the reason this concept is so revolutionary is that for the most part, traditional economic thinking doesn't concern itself with setting goals like this. Raworth explains that in the 19th and early 20th centuries, economists sought to reposition their subject away from a kind of philosophy towards a hard science akin to physics or chemistry. Economists of the day set out what they considered to be the natural laws of economics. Laws about how the free market works and how money moves around the marketplace are still taught in introductory courses to economic students the world over. They form the basis, the worldview, of the economic decision-making occurring in governments, central banks, and corporations to this day. However, the author shows how these models have huge blind spots. Ignoring environmental concerns, the role of the household, and the importance of communities. In the mid-20th century, the idea of endless and constant economic growth, measured in a country's gross domestic product, or GDP, became the central tenet of economics, conveniently ignoring environmental destruction and the impossibility of infinite growth on a finite planet. The theory goes that economic growth eventually raises all ships. Yes, the wealthy become wealthier, but after a period of inequality, all members of society, or should I say the economy, raise their standard of living and enjoy a richer lifestyle. The goal of an economy then is to grow, and market forces will take care of poverty and inequality. This book, Donut Economics, sets out beautifully why this economic theory is flawed and it has its limits. The richest economies in the world right now, in terms of GDP, are becoming increasingly unequal, and I don't even have to tell you about ecological destruction and climate change. Raworth acknowledges that for low and middle income countries to climb above the donut's social foundation, significant GDP growth is very much needed. But that economic growth needs to be viewed as a means to reach social goals within ecological limits and not as an indicator of success in itself, and certainly not the core goal for rich countries, countries that are already wealthy. That is why Kate Raworth argues for a radical shift in how we conceptualize the economy and its purpose, and that we need to broaden our understanding of economics to include things like social justice and environmental protection. She sets out 7 ways to think like a 21st century economist and achieve this idea of a donut economy. I'll take you quickly through them so you get a flavor. First, change the goal. As I've just said, over 70 years of economics has been fixated on GDP, national output, as its primary measure of progress. That fixation has been used to justify extreme inequalities of income and wealth coupled with unprecedented destruction of the living world. For the 21st century, a far bigger goal is needed: meeting the human rights of every person within the means of our life-giving planet. Second, see the big picture. The economy does not exist in isolation. The market is not self-contained. We need to redraw our idea of the economy, embedding it within society and within nature, and appreciate the key role of the state, the household, and the commons, as well as the market. Third, nurture human nature. Raworth writes, "At the heart of 20th century economics stands the portrait of rational economic man. He has told us that we are self-interested, isolated, calculating, fixed in taste, and dominant over nature, and his portrait has shaped who we have become. But human nature is far richer than this. As early sketches of our new self-portrait reveal, we are social, interdependent, approximating, fluid in values, and dependent upon the living world. What's more, it is indeed possible to nurture human nature in ways that give us a far greater chance of getting into the donut's safe and just space." Fourth, get savvy with systems. Systems thinking, understanding how everything interacts with everything else, is an essential skill for solving complex problems like economic inequality and climate change. I did a whole episode on systems thinking back in episode 23, so you can check that out for more details. Fifth, design to distribute. Inequality is not an economic necessity, it is a design flaw. Raworth says that 21st century economists will recognize that there are many ways to design economies to be far more distributive of the value they create. And this means not only redistributing income, but also wealth. Sixth, create to regenerate. We need to move away from the linear industrial processes that cause ecological destruction towards regenerative design that is in tune with the Earth's cyclical processes of life. For cities, this means instead of just doing no harm or indeed doing harm, we need to actually improve the quality of the environment through economic activity. And seventh, be agnostic about growth. The author writes, "Today we have economies that need to grow. Whether or not they make us thrive, what we need are economies that make us thrive, whether or not they grow." That radical flip in perspective invites us to become agnostic about growth and to explore how economies that are currently financially, politically, and socially addicted to growth could learn to live with or without it. These 7 principles are the starting point for reimagining how economics works. The book goes into lots of examples of these principles in action around the world. And I could honestly talk all day about all the amazing insights that you can get from this book. However, I'm especially interested in what this idea means for cities. I love how donut economics encapsulates and provides a framework for a number of concepts that we talk about here on the podcast, such as circularity, which is the reuse and recycling of materials to avoid waste. Regeneration, which means designing not only to avoid harm, but to actually improve the environment, and systems thinking. It puts these concepts into their wider economic context. Now, let's explore how donut economics plays out at the city level. There are a number of pioneering cities adopting and grappling with the donut economics concept. A quick look online tells me that Amsterdam, Brussels, Berlin, Sydney, Melbourne, Philadelphia and Portland, amongst many others, are all working on a local version of a donut and integrating it with city policy. Kate Raworth's donut looked at the entire planet. There is a challenge, therefore, in scaling that down to the much smaller scale of a city. In particular, the inner circle of donut, the social foundations, need to be made more locally specific to capture what a good quality of life would mean in a particular city. And so a common starting point for these cities is to create a city portrait. As the Amsterdam City Donut report reads, "The donut of social and planetary boundaries can be turned into a city-scale tool by asking the very 21st century question, how can our city be a home to thriving people in a thriving place while respecting the well-being of all people and the health of the whole planet? It is a question that invites every city to start exploring what it would mean to thrive within the donut, given that particular city's location, context, culture, and global interconnections. And the result is the city portrait." End quote. Now, I think this is a really important first step. Often, climate change, economics, urbanism, these topics can be incredibly technical. And we do sometimes forget that what it's really all about is a fundamental question, which is, how can we live a good life? In particular, we as urbanists need to help people form and communicate these visions of the future so that we have something clear to work towards. Avoiding catastrophe is not compelling enough. Reaching technical targets like net zero emissions is also not particularly compelling. But donut economics tells us that the starting point is a shared vision of how our city or place can help us and the environment thrive, and that is a pretty compelling starting point. And what that means will be different for each city. So in Amsterdam, to focus on them now, the city portrait was co-created with city staff and local residents, so it reflects the values of a diverse range of Amsterdammers. Some of the social targets that make up the inner circle of the donut that they came up with are things like there is sufficient availability of affordable and decent homes, and the city is accessible to everyone via public transport in a safe and sustainable way. Or every child receives a good education in a high-quality school environment. But the portrait also looks at the global level, at how the city is influencing the human rights and quality of life of people in other countries, mainly through its purchasing and procurement. This is really, really important because often in sustainability, we're not thinking sufficiently outside our own boundaries. But of course, we're in this global economy, this global world, where everything is connected. So I think what is really interesting about this is that they're taking topics that have traditionally been in silos, like education, public transport, housing, food, political voice, and they're pulling them all together under one framework and vision. This is incredibly holistic and forward-thinking. And this is the kind of thing we should be doing whenever we're looking at any kind of city-scale plan, whether it be infrastructure or a master plan big regeneration sites. We really do need to be pulling in all these different topics together and seeing how they interconnect. That's what systems thinking is about, really. Now, if we think about the outer circle, the planetary boundaries, the Amsterdam City Portrait does assess how Amsterdam is contributing to global issues like climate change, waste, ocean acidification, and it definitely is exceeding on a couple of these macro indices, which should feed into its wider policies. But those are a little bit high level, a little bit blunt, so it also creates a more locally specific outer donut, where it considers the question, what would it mean for Amsterdam to thrive within its natural habitat? This leads into a regenerative vision of urban design locally. Quoting directly now from the Amsterdam City Donut report, "Healthy ecosystems are generous and resilient. They purify the air, cleanse the water, moderate the local climate, cycle nutrients, calm floodwaters, house diverse species, and more, all to keep creating conditions in which life can thrive. What if cities were designed to be as generous and resilient as the ecosystems in which they are located? What if their buildings, greenways, and infrastructure aimed to clean as much air, filter as much water, store as much carbon, and house as much biodiversity as their host habitat does? Doing so would strengthen the health of the whole ecosystem, but also increase the city resilience to extremes of heat, rainfall, coastal erosion, and drought. The lens of the city portrait explores seven attributes of a city's surrounding ecosystems, including how they provide water, regulate air quality, regulate temperature, support biodiversity, protect against erosion, sequester carbon, and harvest energy. These insights provide guidance for how the city can likewise live generously and resiliently within the unique characteristics of its habitat. End quote. So here the Amsterdam donut city portrait, which Amsterdam is one of the leading cities really in adopting this. It's fairly far along in its journey, whereas a lot of other cities are really just coming onto it in the last sort of couple of months last year. And so here they're sort of providing a starting point and a sort of, interesting approach that other cities can pick up on. It's not only unique to Amsterdam, you can adapt this to your own city, which is brilliant. Now, in Amsterdam, donut economics is actually central to its post-COVID recovery to ensure that the city does not go back to business as usual. The practical manifestations of this concept so far seems to be the city's circularity strategy, focusing on reusing materials rather than creating waste. So for instance, newly constructed buildings now need to include material passports, so individual materials and products can be easily identified and reused if the building is ever taken down in the future. I actually have an episode coming out in a few weeks with a great guest that goes into more depth on material passports, so keep an eye out for that. There was another great example of donut thinking reported in Time magazine, which wrote, "When the Netherlands went into lockdown in March, the city realized that thousands of residents didn't have access to computers that would become increasingly necessary to socialize and take part in society. Rather than buying new devices, which would have been expensive and eventually contribute to the rising problem of e-waste, the city arranged collections of old and broken laptops from residents who could spare them, hired a firm to refurbish them, and distributed 3,500 of them to those in need." This example isn't obviously specific to urbanism. It's more about new ways of working. But I find it such a great example because it encapsulates so many aspects of that donut economics mindset. It's the local government. First of all, they're saving money because they're not buying new devices. They're collecting old devices. Probably the local residents who gave up the devices were happy to get rid of them because we all have too much stuff lying around our houses anyway. They were able to support a local firm who refurbished them, and then they were able to increase the social capital of local people by giving them these free electronics so they could keep working from home when they may have been a bit insecure in their job if they didn't have access to this. And this is the kind of amazing program that you could come up with when you get into the mindset of donut economics. And that's really what it is. It's a kind of way of thinking. So that's a great, great example. So I focused basically on Amsterdam because, as I said, they're quite far along in their journey and have these interesting examples popping up. But I think we're going to see a lot more of this from other countries around the world, not only in Europe or North America. There's also grassroots movements around donut economics popping up in lower income and middle income countries as well. So it'd be really interesting to see how they adapt it to their context as well. And who knows, I might even do a follow-up episode when some of these schemes are more further along. That's basically it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you've been intrigued by this, I really recommend that you go pick up a copy of the book. Kate Raworth also has a great TED Talk, which you can watch. Just search for her name or Google Donut Economics. And that she does a great job of encapsulating the whole concept with visuals as well. Coming up, I have a couple of more guest episodes. I have an episode with my good friend George Piatis, who's a master planner based in the UK. And we talk about how master planning and urban design can be really important tools for delivering really beautiful, but also very sustainable new development. And then I also have, after that, Rachel Holohan from Orms, the architects, coming on to talk about material passports. So some really exciting guests coming up. If you have any feedback, if you have any suggestions, or you just want to say hi, you can email me, greenurbanistpod@gmail.com, or find me on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next time, thanks very much.